Chapter 27 Charlie's Irregulars. For Avrakatos, there was something slightly unnerving about Wilson's miraculous recovery. It would be another 18 months before Charlie took a drink, and for the first time in his adult life, he was soberly focused. Schnabel had ordered all alcohol removed from the congressman's house in Texas, from the condo in Arlington, and from the offices on the Hill. But for once, it wasn't necessary. Wilson was observing his own ban, and it was transforming his mood. Each morning he would take the members' underground subway from his Rayburn office to the Capitol. Striding past the security guards into the sealed room under the dome where the CIA provides a copy of the National Intelligence Daily Brief for members with the highest security clearances. Charlie was usually the only congressman present as he pored through the agency's most up-to-date intelligence on battles and Soviet casualties. There were times when Gust found it almost intimidating to brief his revived patron. Wilson was acting like a man with little time left, particularly frustrated that his Oerlikons were still not in action, and always asking the question Avrakatos hated to answer, "How many Hinds have you shot down this week?" "It takes time, Charlie," Gust would begin before launching into Vickers's standard refrain. "It's the mix that's important, and you've got to teach the Mujahideen how to use these weapons." But Wilson wasn't willing to let it go at that. He had full confidence in Avrakatos, but Afghanistan had been a journey of discovery for him. By the fall of 1985, he had come to know that the CIA was not the only force he could call on. He had learned that his influence on appropriations gave him the ability to run his own operations should he sense an opportunity. That's where Charlie Schnabel came into the picture. By that time, Schnabel had become Wilson's envoy to an assortment of odd characters who made up the American-Afghan lobby. The tendency is to call them right-wingers, but they really defied labeling, with views even more extreme than Gordon Humphrey's. Wilson thought they were all a bit crazy, but potentially useful, as long as he didn't have to deal with them personally. Schnabel made that possible, since all of them seemed to feel a kindred spirit for the other Charlie. Just weeks after Wilson got out of the hospital, Schnabel urged the congressman to meet with one of these people. Von Forrest was an obscure and somewhat abrasive aide to a little-known congressman. He was not the sort of man who instills trust in most politicians, but Wilson was intrigued when Schnabel explained that this former Florida cop and Vietnam Special Forces medic had just returned from a month-long trek into the Afghan war zone. As an aide to Florida Congressman Bill McCollum, he'd been well aware that the U.S. government absolutely prohibited any of its employees from crossing into the war zone with the Mujahideen. But that kind of rule-breaking zeal appealed to Wilson, and he graciously agreed to a meeting. Forrest's route to Afghanistan, like that of so many of the Americans who would become infatuated with the Mujahideen's cause, was a curious one. It had grown out of a passionate Catholicism that had caused him to spend his vacations providing humanitarian assistance to war refugees in Central America. To his enormous surprise, in 1984 this work came to the attention of a group of Catholics who invited him to join the Ancient Order of the Knights of Malta. At a ceremony in Washington, the famed trial lawyer Edward Bennett Williams performed the ritual induction, forever altering Forrest's life. According to legend, the original knights had been crusaders from noble families. To Forrest, it was as if he had been ordained by some mystical power to fulfill the obligations of this exalted order, which called on its knights to devote their lives to rescuing those in distress. It was this new commission that caused him to fly to Pakistan on his vacation to contact the Mujahideen, and then to walk over the mountains with one of their bands for a month of fighting. Vickers's new flood of weapons had not yet made it through the pipeline, and Forrest, who knew nothing of the program underway, was appalled by the way the Afghans were being armed and supported. Drawing on his Vietnam experience, he began preparing his own detailed plans for revamping everything. On the way home, he stopped in Rome to visit the headquarters of the Knights of Malta. The headquarters, which is located on 2 acres of sovereign territory near the Spanish Steps in Rome, is actually a country, the smallest in the world and the only one with a front door. Forrest had been a bit disappointed by the building's fading architectural features, but he emerged from his meeting there with the name of a fellow knight whom he was told might be of use to him. Back in Washington, from his desk in the overcrowded Longworth Building Congressional Office, he called the number he had been given. "Hello, this is Von Forrest," he said. I believe the Grand Mufti of Rome wrote to Director Casey about me. Is he in? Forrest heard a muffled voice saying, "Tell him to come out." He was an anonymous aide to a congressman who served on no committee dealing with intelligence or foreign affairs. He had no realistic way of gaining access to William Casey, America's spy chief. But suddenly and effortlessly, Vaughn Forrest found himself seated in the director's office talking night to night. This kind of experience can do strange things to an enthusiast like Vaughn Forrest. Casey flattered him and applauded the young man's interest, and then passed him on to another good Catholic, Ed Genowitz, the associate deputy director for operations. Genowitz says he liked Forrest, took him seriously. "Let's face it, he was an extreme right-winger," Genowitz recalls. "But here was a kid with all the best intentions. He wanted to help, and he had all the right credentials as far as Casey was concerned. So I spent some time with him and found out he had a lot of neat ideas." The truth was, Vaughn Forrest managed to rub just about everyone else in the agency the wrong way. Avrakatos, who was asked to see him, recalls, "He was a real odd bird, plus what he had to say was really off the wall." But now, thanks to Charlie Schnabel's recommendation, this persistent knight was sitting in Charlie Wilson's office, and the congressman liked what he was hearing. Forrest explained that after he returned from Afghanistan, he had scoured the bureaucracy to find out if anyone in the U.S. government was trying to make high-tech, user-friendly weapons for anti-communist guerrillas. No one was, not at the CIA or in the military. But Forrest said he had discovered a group of weapons tinkerers in the Pentagon's Tactical Land Warfare Division who were filled with notions of how to develop offbeat mule portable devices to help the Mujahideen kill Russians. They would like nothing more than to be given the opportunity.